Good morning, St. Patrick's, and Merry Christmas to everyone. I'm the new guy here. My name is Father David Skillman, and I'm your new additional associate pastor. I just moved in on Monday, so jump right in with Christmas, which is wonderful. My last parish assignment was at St. Gerard Magella in Kirkwood, but my path from there to here was a bit circuitous. I left St. Gerard at the end of October, and actually moved to Boston for 6 weeks, where I was discerning a possible vocation to the religious life with the Carmelite friars there in Boston. And ultimately, the Lord called me back home here to St. Louis, and so here I am. So I came from Kirkwood to Wentzville by way of Boston, Massachusetts, an interesting path. My time there with the Carmelites was a very beautiful and blessed one. And one of the things that was part of my discernment there and my formation with them was a kind of technology fast. So for those 6 weeks, I didn't have a cell phone and I didn't even have access to the internet. So I had to kind of adapt and adjust to out of habits that had been in place for a long time, including how I kept up with the news. So instead of checking the headlines on my phone in the morning, I had to go the old-fashioned way and read the morning newspaper, the Boston Globe, every morning. And last Sunday, I was really intrigued by a book review that I read in the Boston Globe about the history of medieval Europe. You may know that kind of popularly, that period of history is often referred to as the Dark Ages. And the article says this about that time. For 1,000 inky, gloomy years, a great shadow loomed above Europe, stubbornly hanging there, blocking the sun of learning and erudition, stifling thought and action, casting humankind into a vast, impenetrable darkness that gave the epoch its name. The Dark Ages were a blight upon the earth, except maybe they weren't. And the reason that the author of this article says, except maybe they weren't, is because this book proposes a different way of viewing this period of history. The book is called The Bright Ages, A New History of Medieval Europe. And the author's proposal is that perhaps these so-called dark ages were not quite as dark as we often think. I have to admit, I have not read the book. I'd like to. It sounds interesting, so I can't recommend it to you necessarily. But the main thesis is certainly intriguing. To quote this review one more time, the author writes, "The Bright Ages contained the beauty and light of stained glass in the high ceilings of the cathedral, the blood and sweat of the people who built them, the golden relics of the church, the acts of charity and devotion by people of deep faith. Trade flourished, great migrations spread, new ways of thinking evolved, and then were overtaken by fresh new ideas. Much of this is lost in our hazy view of the Dark Ages when we are blind to the light of the inquiry, imagination, and innovation that thrived in those centuries." Now, I was thinking about this, and you know, when it comes down to it, the truth of the matter is that every age, we could say, is a dark age. It's the truth of our whole human history. From the first bite of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, the fallen human race has been the source of so much evil and darkness in the world. We don't have to look far to discover the darkness of our own age. We're all too familiar with the many offenses against the sanctity of human life, and the harsh words and at times physical violence that's come to mark our life together in society. If we're honest, we have to admit that ours is a dark age. And yet, every year when we celebrate Christmas, we're reminded of the great hope that is given to us in this mystery that we celebrate today. The prayers and scriptures of Christmas Mass describe that hope so often in terms of light and darkness. We heard in that beautiful reading from St. John's Gospel, the very beginning of his Gospel, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We're reminded of the good news that the light of the Son of God shines in the darkness because he came into our darkness, into this dark world as a tiny infant destined to offer his life for us and for our salvation. And I think if you listen closely as we continue through Holy Mass this morning, you'll hear more variations on this theme of light and darkness. But perhaps the most important thing for each of us to recognize and acknowledge is that there's only darkness out there in the world around us because there's darkness in here, in the human heart. You know, it's so easy for us to look out and point to all the different problems in the world. It's hard for us to see it in ourselves. But if we pause and make a little examination of our own hearts, each of us has to acknowledge that I myself, I'm fallen. I'm sinful. In a way, I myself am darkness. Which means that I need the light of the world to shine into the darkness that I am. I need a Savior. This, my friends, is a call to humility, which probably should not surprise us when we think about how things happened on that first Christmas. Jesus himself was born into a poor family in a humble stable, where simple shepherds were the first witnesses to the event. And then when he grew throughout his public ministry, how often he called us to humility. He told us to become like little children. It was to the humble that he opened the riches of his teaching and his grace. He resisted the pride of the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. And he worked miracles for those of humble faith. He praised poor widows, and he dined with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus came humbly to teach us how we should approach him with that same humility. What is humility? Simply put, humility means acknowledging that I need God, that I need a Savior. The very word humility, interestingly, shares a root with the Latin word for dirt. Not because humility means thinking of myself as worthless dirt, but because you and I were formed from the dust of the earth, Genesis tells us. And God breathed life into that dust to create man and woman. In other words, humility means recognizing that of myself, I'm only darkness. I live, I breathe because of God, who's given me life, who's given me everything. I depend upon him radically. We are called to become like the shepherds, to learn from them in their simplicity and humility, to hurry to that place where the light shines in the darkness. Where is that for us? For them, it was a humble stable in Bethlehem. Where does the light shine for us in the darkness? For us, the light shines in the sacraments that Jesus himself gave to us. Baptism, confession, Holy Communion, these aren't empty ritual. These are channels of God's light, his grace into our lives. Hence the candle given to us at our baptism, that light illuminating our soul once we were baptized. And the opportunity we have to be reminded of that grace every time we dip our fingers into the holy water font. Hence the church's call, the obligation we receive to go to confession at least once a year, to attend Holy Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. Hence the encouragement to receive Holy Communion often, as often we're at Mass and properly disposed in the state of grace to receive Holy Communion. For us, the light shines in moments of quiet prayer. When we ponder the words of Scripture or make a journey with our fingers around the beads of the rosary or kneel in wordless prayer in Eucharistic adoration. Hence our need to carve out a certain amount of time every day in which we shut out all those distractions and all the noise of the world so that we can hear the still small voice of the light of the world. For us, the light shines in our relationships with one another when we love each other as Christ has loved us, as he commands us to do. Hence our need to foster unity in our families, to shun petty gossip and uncharitable speech, to care for the spiritually and materially poor through the works of mercy. You see, when we live like this, when we approach these places where the light continues to shine in our day, the sacraments and prayer and charity for one another, then that light shines in the darkness of our hearts. And what happens is our hearts then become aglow with this divine light given to us in the Holy Infant on Christmas. And when we open our hearts to receive that light, then we become instruments of that light into the darkness of the world around us. Every age is a dark age, but every age has the potential to become a bright age. But it's up to us. We have to welcome the light into the only place that we ultimately have control over, which is our own hearts. May we not leave Mass on this holy day without acknowledging in humility our profound need for the light that only the child we adore in the manger can bring to us. And let's give him the gift of our own promise, our own resolutions, in very concrete ways to allow his light to shine in us and through us in the coming new year. St. Patrick, our patron saint, pray for us.